There's a concert tonight. Boy, is there a concert tonight. The Gonzaga Symphony opens its season with the Dvorak Eighth Symphony, but significantly for our purposes with the extraordinary cellist Lynn Harrell playing the Lalo Cello Concerto. And the good thing about this is that these artists come into town usually for the weekend and interface with the community, and there's been all kinds of examples of that. He's in the room and brought along his cello and is willing to play something beautifully lyrical for us. Let's see what Lynn Harrell has coming out of his cello right now. Cello playing of Lynn Harrell in our studio. I think that's from the second cello suite, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, okay.
Sarah Bond.
Good. Well, welcome to Spokane, and thank you for bringing your cello along.
Just always love to have my cello with me. It's part of me, actually.
Yeah. And so let's do this for a little while. Always the origin story. What made a cello first fall into your hands as a kid?
Well, my parents were both professional musicians, and they didn't have any intention that we, my brother and sister and myself, would become professionals, but they just felt that music was a part of education. And so wisely, they sort of prodded us and forced us to play an instrument. I was given the piano, my sister the violin, my brother the clarinet. And after a few weeks, I just rebelled. I didn't like the piano. And my mother said, well, you're going to have to play something. So she had had a quartet over at the house to play just for fun. And I said, if I have to play anything, I'll take the big one. I didn't even know what its name was. And I gravitated enough to it to do my 20 minutes of practice before school every day. And I suppose subconsciously, the low notes reminded me of my father's deep bass baritone voice. So I stuck with it. And after a few years, I realized that I no longer wanted to be a baseball player. I wanted to be a cellist.
So how old were you in that cello first when you first picked up that cello?
About 8 and a half.
Okay. And your mother, you say she was a musician also. What was her?
She played the violin.
Oh, okay.
And she met my father when he was a violinist. And she said, you know, you're not very talented on the violin. Why don't you think of singing? I heard you sing a solo in the church the other day, and it was beautiful. You have a nice voice. So he became a singer and won the Metropolitan Opera auditions in 1939, toured Europe as a recitalist, and he became a very great singer.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get a taste of Mac Harrell, the singer's art. Bach or Niles? Which should we hear?
Well, since the sarabande that I played was rather soft, maybe we, at this early hour, should coax the listeners into something soft. But this is, of course, a completely different idea. You can tell by the words.
Okay, this is that legendary cantata for baritone and an orchestra with a very significant oboe obbligato. We'll hear the opening of Bach Cantata number 82.
Thank you.
the opening and title aria of this Bach Cantata number 82, Ich habe genug, I've had enough, I have enough. I'm not sure the tense of that title. And that was the oboist, Mark Lifshey, and more significantly, I guess, for our purposes, is the singer, the baritone singer, Mac Harrell, the father of Lynn Harrell, who's sitting in the room with me. You know, Lynn, normally in an interview like this, we would have played a little bit just as kind of an example, and then we would have gone on. But you wouldn't let me because you were listening so intently and so deeply involved in... You've heard that many, many times, but you couldn't help but listen closely, could you?
I get moved every single time, and it's been a long time since I've listened to this. And this is one of those performances on record that, as well as I've listened to it and concentrated on it and studied it, I get all comboloxed up emotionally because of the phrasing and the beauty of the rendition every single time. It's quite remarkable. My father preferred I Ask for No More as a translation of
that's Ishaq perfect. Kuduk, yeah, no, that's a great
because question. It is about wanting to end the life and go on to be amongst Jesus and God and others.
Yeah.
So, yes, the oboe playing, Mark Lifshey was principal in Cleveland when I joined the orchestra in 63. So I had 2 years of listening to him. And he's just one of the greatest instrumentalist artists I've ever heard on any instrument. Yeah, it's just deeply inspiring. Every time I hear something like that, mm-hmm. whether it be a Milstein recording or Rudolf Serkin or any great artist, I want to go jump and take out my cello and practice and try to do some of those things.
Lynn Harrell, who is performing the Lalo Cello Concerto tonight at 7:30 at the Fox with the Gonzaga Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Kevin Hekmatpana, along with also the Dvorak Eighth Symphony. So let's get right into that moment in the 60s, because you were still a teenager. Your dad died, when you were 16?
Yeah, the day after my birthday.
Wow. And then within 3 years, you were playing cello in the Cleveland Orchestra.
Yes.
So even at age 16, you were a cellist to be reckoned with. You had grabbed the cello and made it your own, I get it.
Yes. It was interesting, although I was the youngest of my brothers and sisters, the children of the Harrells, I was more prepared for the... for the death of my father and then my mother 2 years later, more than my brother and sister. So I became a professional when I was 17, and Sel then promoted me to principal cello when I was 21 of the Cleveland Orchestra. And that was my real musical education, because I hadn't gone but to 1 year of the Curtis Institute and only in the preparatory division as a high school student in New York City.
Well, that's unique, because, you know, soloists get all trained and prepared and pampered and, you know, and put in and all that stuff. Talk a little bit more about why that was a great preparation for you to do Zell and the Cleveland Orchestra.
Well, up until the 60s, one would have to say that every solo cellist that had made a concert career as a soloist had started out playing in an orchestra. This doesn't happen with violinists. Concertmasters don't seem to graduate to being a soloist, but cellist, it was very common. So I was in that line. I think playing in a really great orchestra with a great musician as a conductor, as George Sell was, I had a musical training that was... about performance, absolutely secondary to none. And the difficulties of being an orchestral musician, adjusting to one's colleagues, following a conductor's beat, and being able to play the music that's put before you, since it comes a new bunch of music every week, is incredibly demanding. And it's sort of like... the working of development of becoming a good musician. Even Mozart's father in 1756, when Wolfgang was born, says in his violin playing book, a well-prepared orchestral musician is much more acknowledged for his brilliance than a soloist, because a soloist can just play his part by rote. But the orchestral musician has to adjust to the soloist, the conductor, his colleagues. And that was in 1756, before even any Beethoven symphonies. Mm. So I took that to heart, and I really embraced my orchestral years. Leonard Rose, my teacher, had been principal of the New York Philharmonic. Piatigorsky, of course, was principal of the Berlin Philharmonic, and Starker had been principal in Chicago. So I was happy to stay longer than just 1 or 2 years. In fact, I became so entranced with the music that I was playing, and as a cellist, to play Mozart is particularly glorious because he didn't write for the cello as a solo instrument. So I just stayed on, and it was some of the happiest years of my life.
Well, and the stories about Zell include that he would rehearse Mozart so exactingly and just not just kind of toss it off, but really got inside it. And, I guess he did that with everything, but especially Mozart, maybe?
Yes, I think Zell thought that Mozart was the greatest musician who ever lived. Mm-hmm. And when we would do a piano concerto, which was quite often, because he just would program those piano concerti, he'd rehearse the orchestral material before the soloist would come, and then the soloist would have 2 rehearsals. Yeah, Zell's performing repertoire at the Cleveland Orchestra was very small. His knowledge of repertoire was immense. But that meant that in my years, 63 to 71, I played major works like Dvorak G major, which is being played tonight, that great symphony, 4 or 5 times within those years. Schumann's Second Symphony, Mozart's Jupiter. They're just pieces that Zell would pick up where he rehearsed the 5 rehearsals before every concert a couple of years before. So he was rehearsing the Cleveland Orchestra like string quartets rehearse. So that's one of the reasons why it became such an incredible ensemble.
Yeah. Lynn Harrell, my guest, who's playing tonight at the Fox at 7:30. Now let's talk about the 70s, because from all the recordings we have, you had such great colleagues, and it looks like it was such a great world of music for you to be involved with, I don't know, James Levine and Ashkenazi and Perlman and all these people. Talk about your musical world that you emerged into as a soloist.
Yes, it was quite wonderful. Jimmy Levine was in Cleveland before he went to the Metropolitan Opera and eventually became music director. And we started playing concerts together. He had accompanied students of my father's in Aspen when he was 12, 13 years old. And and then when Jimmy moved to New York and was going to do more conducting at the Metropolitan Opera, he insisted with the contract that he was getting with RCA Records that he make some cello records with me. I had to audition. Jimmy and I played through a Mendelssohn sonata for one of the producers, and I guess I passed the muster. So we recorded the Dvorak Concerto. That was the first thing we recorded. And then we recorded 2 albums of cello and piano. So my recording career really started because of my close collaboration and friendship with Jimmy Levine. But then to play with Itzhak Perlman, he was at my first Dvorak performance with piano in Meadowmount, a string camp up in upper state New York. And I was at his very first Brahms concerto performance. And we became good friends. And then when Ashkenazi was playing violin sonatas with Perlman, he said, "I'd like to do the trios. Who would you suggest?" And Perlman said, "Well, Lynn Harrell. Who's he?" Ashkenazi said. So Ashkenazi also sort of auditioned me by playing a recital first. But that was a wonderful opportunity. We actually recorded a Rachmaninoff sonata and some Beethoven sonatas at that time. But then we did the trios. And over a 7-year period, we did all the trios with Itzhak, of Beethoven, and then of Brahms as well. Zuckerman also I met as a firebrand in Meadowmount, this string camp, when he was 15 years old. And we became friends, and we played a great deal together over the next few years. I feel really so gifted with the greatness of the colleagues that I was able to make my career with. It's just an incredible learning experience for me.
And you were all equals. You were all of a generation. You must have just felt you were changing the world musically in some ways, didn't you?
I suppose so. We didn't think about it when we were doing it, just because we were introspective and working together, and we didn't compare ourselves to other artists and other people at our age. We just were busy having fun together and making music together. And when Jackie Dupre, Daniel Barenboim's mm-hmm. wife, got multiple sclerosis, that was a great tragedy for Itzhak, Pinky, Danny, and Zubin, this sort of what was called in the music business the Jewish mafia, because they just stuck together and they played together. So I was honored to sort of be a kind of outsider, mm-hmm. because, of course, I played the same instrument as Jacqueline Dupre. But it was a Camelot kind of time. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
And then you ended up with her cello, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I visited her many times when she was ill, and she and Danny told me that she had two cellos that they were thinking of selling, and there were two Stradivaris, and I liked one of them so much. Yo-Yo plays the other one, so I was able to buy the larger Strad, one that's very early in Strad's career, mm-hmm. With some help from a great friend in Aspen who loaned me, I think, $200,000. In any case, I was able to pay her back by scrimping and saving every penny over a 3 or 4 year period. So, yeah, it was a great cello, and it was a thrill to play one of the cellos that Jackie played. Mm-hmm. I named it after her because it didn't have a name attached to it.
Yeah, the Strads usually do have a name, don't they?
Yeah. So the one that Yo-Yo plays is called the Davidoff, because it was owned by a Russian in the 19th century named Davidoff.
Mm-hmm. And who has that other cello?
Well, someone owns it and loans it to Yo-Yo, but yeah. Yo-Yo is the one who's been playing it.
Sure.
A great
but
deal.
Then the cello you had.
I eventually sold it, got a Guarneri violin in trade. My wife was very happy because she's a violinist, and was played by Nino Kotova, a Russian cellist. Yeah, so.
My guest, Lynn Harrell, who's playing Lalo with the symphony tonight. Let's do this. Let's take a little 2-minute break and hear something from a recording, then come back and probably talk about, among other things, the Lalo Cello Concerto, as well as the film that Lynn has recently made. This little Shostakovich Moderato you put on the end of a sonata album. Tell what's the story with this little piece?
This is a very unknown piece, and Ashkenazi gave me the music, which at that time had been published only in Russia, and it was just probably dashed off rather quickly by Shostakovich. I understand from friends who knew him that he composed very fast. In any case, it's a short lyrical piece, and I'll be glad to hear it too, because I haven't thought about it in 25 years.
It's just a 2.5 minute, but an amazing arc of music. Listen carefully to this, Shostakovich. This is Lynn Harrell and Vladimir Ashkenazy, the pianist. Thank you. piece by Dmitri Shostakovich. That was his moderato, played by cellist Lynn Harrell and pianist Vladimir Ashkenazi.